Greetings. In the name of my blessed Savior, and I trust yours. Is he precious to you today? Brother Dale, thank you very much for what you spoke this morning. Touch my heart. Well, according to what Brother Aiden asked me some time ago, I don't know why me. I could learn so much yet, but I'm going to. I've been asked to speak these four messages on the Christian home, and it's a very dear subject for me. But I tremble as I think of the responsibility of a group of fathers and parents and young men and sitting here, and the potential of guiding someone the wrong way in this important institution that God ordained from the beginning. I had asked Brother James, I have a problem the last few years where I have a shake in my hand when I want to write. I would have liked to write something on the board up here, and I asked Brother James if he would. He said he would, but I thought maybe I'll spend too much time in that, and I don't want to take the time away from the program anyway, so I'm going to read what I wanted to write. But before I do that, I noticed something in the program, I noticed something on the program or on the directions of better dig it out here to see how they have that. On the schedule, the daily schedule they have it down as, I noticed something that they asked me to speak on the Christian home. And then this morning when I came in here, I looked down at the bottom and I saw that Brother Dale Gish is going to speak on the godly home. Is there a difference? Huh? I beg to differ. Do you know why? Because the word Christian is used so easily. And lots of people today in the United States are talking about having a Christian home. Thousands of books are written about the Christian home. But you read those books. And then tell me, are they all godly? And I make a difference today. I remember Brother Denny Keniston some years ago preached a message in Bedford. I think it was at Bedford, the tent meetings. And he said, are you a real Christian? Now that should be without fail. We should not have to ask that question. But I guess I ask you, do you have a real Christian home? I would like to talk. I would rather talk about a godly home. Now you say, well, Abner, you're quibbling about words. And maybe I am. But in these days we are, when your children become little goats and all kinds of other terms that are wrong, it's time that we know what we say, what we mean when we say it. And when I talk about the Christian home, I want you to, and I, want us to be influenced by what Dale is going to speak on, the godly home. And not this light Christianity that is being talked about today. When I was about 30 years old, I found the Lord Jesus, my wife and I. And it wasn't very long at all before I decided to get, or before I wanted, I got a tremendous longing to see what a home could be like. We didn't have a lot of problems before we were converted. As far as a fighting home, we didn't have. We had three children. Then one day, a young brother, asked me if I'd go with them, if we would go with them out to Ohio to do some visiting. I didn't know the people in Ohio. But we went to Middlefield, Ohio. I'll never forget it. I was 30 years old. It was in 1968, whatever that was then. And we went to Middlefield, Ohio. And my wife, Ann, and I stayed at a home. And I don't know how many of the people here would remember of John Dan Miller. We went into that home on Saturday afternoon. And I was utterly dumbfounded with the order and the beauty and the peace and the quietness in that home. When we went home, I told my wife, let's move to Middlefield. Too ignorant, too naive to realize that moving to Middlefield isn't what it took. But it took a father in the home to take his place. And if I would have went to Middlefield in the state that I was in and not changed, I would have never got it. And so I had to rethink a little bit. Now, what I would like to write on the board, and I'm not sure if I shouldn't, but I hope you can remember it. So you just listen. You know, you open up a newspaper, if you read a newspaper, or you see signboards, and the advertisements that are in, wanted, somebody to help on this job. Well, I want to start this out by saying, wanted, a daddy. Wanted, a papa. Wanted, a paw, whatever you call it, a father. I was raised calling my father Dat. That was Pennsylvania Dutch. Some are raised calling them Dad. Some say Pop. Some say Papa. It doesn't matter. It's the term. And I'm saying this morning in this advertisement, wanted a daddy. And brethren, dearly beloved, as I look across this audience, when I thought about these messages, I thought, whew, I've preached many times on the home. And I always target the daddies. And here I've got a right to do it. Because, brethren, I am convinced in some of the experience, and I haven't had it near, I'm not near where I ought to be with it. But in the experiences I have had, is if I take my place, it works. Now you may say, Abner, you're not married to my wife. And that's true. That's true. And I'm going to tell you, when it comes to wives, I've got the best one. And so maybe I'm talking out of turn. It's like I said in a church some years ago, I was in Ohio and they didn't know me and I didn't know them. And I was preaching about something and I said, I don't know why some fathers let their boys fight like they do. I said, my boys never fought. And then I dropped the subject. And after services, two men came up to me and they said, brother, we don't know what you have as a family, but either you just have one boy or two, or no boys. One boy or no boys. And I had to admit, Dale, I just have one boy. And so I said that to say this. I might say some things this week that I'm not really qualified to say. You see, I don't feel I'm qualified to tell and teach a mother and a father how to raise seven boys. Somebody told me to have seven boys this morning. Whew, I don't know what I'd have done with seven boys. I knew what I did with six girls, but seven boys. And so sometimes we just have to give up on what we learned and go back into the Word of God and find out what principles need to be applied in Daddy's heart. And so I'm going to go on this morning and say, wanted a daddy. And on this job, daddy, or whoever wants this job, there's long hours. Now, some of you have applied to applications for a job. So just listen to some of these things I want to ask you. And I'm looking at this audience and I'm crying out and I'm telling you, the United States of America needs daddies. They don't need these things that are coming out and single homes and all that. They need blessed fathers, daddies, papas, whatever you call your children call you, or what you're going to get your children to call you if you're not married. The world is looking for something better than they have. And God is looking to His people to take a place in these homes. And brethren and sisters, I'm an older man. I'm not old yet, but I'm an older man. And I'm telling you, it's changing. I went to public school most of my life, or most of my school years. And the public school, you might argue, but I feel, well, maybe I better back off. Somebody told me that if you went to a one-room school, no wonder you don't have any education. Well, that's maybe true, but I value what I learned in that one-room public school. Amen. And in that one-room public school, there was no shim-shamming with the teacher. I mean, she got out the Board of Education quicker than a lot of daddies do today. And she was allowed to do it. And so, I don't look with hatred or feeling neglected by going to public school. I'm not advising public school today. Why? Because of the tremendous change. But here is what bothers me more than that, men, is this. Those changes have crept into the church. And now we have parents who are not taking their place in the home. And daddies, when you apply for this job, there are certain qualifications needed. And you know it's pretty hard. You'll hear this as I go on. But there's little long hours and there's little time off. We love our vacation time, don't we? I don't know that my daddy ever went on a vacation. Ever. I never remember my dad going on a vacation. You say, well, he was a workaholic. Well, in some sense, that's right. But I'd like to say something. I have no problem if you as daddies, and let me use the word daddy. That's what my children call me, and that sounds the best to me. I didn't want my children to call me Papa. So I said, call me Daddy, and they still do today. In fact, I have to tell you something. At 11 o'clock last night, my telephone went. Oh, yeah, I carry one. I turned it off, Abe. But my telephone rang. My wife was with me in Allen County on Saturday or on the weekend. And then we went in to Holmes County for a reason. And my wife went on home. Why? Because our one daughter was expecting. And Mama just thinks Grandma has to be there. Well, I bless her heart. At 11 o'clock, I got a call. Your grandpa again? And it's such a blessing. But when I look at what is happening in the world, my heart cries out. Our children, dearly beloved, are going to face things that are beyond our comprehension. But greater is He that is within us than he that is of the kingdom of this world, Brother Dale. All right, let's go on with this advertisement. Little time off. Must be willing to work weekends, holidays, and vacations. You hear what I said? Vacations. He must be willing to work. He must have energy, imagination. I was over in Africa. I hope you'll excuse me. When I talk of family, my mind just goes. I was over in Africa 2 weeks ago. And my brother Melvin and Anna, his wife, they're up in their 50s, almost 60 now. And they have three little children there that they're being parents to. And every time after our morning devotion, as soon as we were done praying on our knees there together as family and Melvin's family, my wife and I, these two little, the two older children, would come over and climb up on Melvin's back. And Melvin said, if I don't do that, they are so disappointed. And then he'd be a horse. Now, Melvin's an awful looking horse. But those children didn't know the difference because they don't know horses. And so Melvin became their horse. He had energy and imagination. And fathers, you know, I've been told that I have too much imagination. But fathers, in this work that I'm advertising for, daddies, we have to have some imagination. If you don't, you will not be a blessing to your children in their play because they learn much through imagination. Just get down and humble yourself and imagine a little with them. If they're playing something you think is far out, don't sneer at them. I'm preaching this message before I ever get to it. But imagination is a real blessing for a daddy in a home. Must have imagination. He must have intelligence. He must use the wisdom that God gave him in his heart and apply it to his mind and let it work out in intelligence. He must be an understanding father, especially in the Word of God. An understanding father. I was in a church over the weekend, and I was so blessed sitting in that church and a lot of children in the church. And I have a little throat problem, so sometimes before I preach, I don't sing a lot. I used to. I just love singing. But I could never sing a whole lot, but I mean, I would holler along with the rest, but I don't do that much anymore. And when I was up there on Sunday, I just sat and listened. My wife and I were sitting beside each other, and she nudged me a little, and she said, "Daddy, do you hear the children?" Oh, that just blessed my heart at the way. And I'm going to tell you people from up there in Allen County, keep up teaching your children. It is such a blessing to hear those children sing, little children, wording the words of the song that I knew could not read. And I knew there was a daddy someplace and a mother, but I'm talking to daddies, that really put some effort into this home. I'm just sort of speaking the preliminaries, this first message. I'm just sort of coming out with some things that ought to, you know, we talk about family life and we can get into all kind of books and all kind of things. But I want to ask you a question. Larry Christensen was a Christian young man and his dad was a saintly older man. And when Larry bought a new home and they moved in, Larry and his wife, they moved into this new home another home. And they had it all laid out, and they called their daddy from some distance away and said, "Come and look at our home." And so daddy come over got there, and Larry took him through the house and showed him all the rooms and everything that he saw in there. "What do you think of this, Dad?" And the wise father would just nod his head and, "That's nice, son, that's nice." And when they were all around, he said, "Well, what do you think of our house?" He said something I never forgot when I read it. He said, "Son, you've got a nice house. But I have to see something in this home that makes it something in this house that makes it a nice home. I have to see." You see, young men, sometimes we get the idea, I want this, how did you say, pretty, beautiful girl. And then I want this house, and that'll be home. That's not what makes home. That makes a house. It may make a family. But that's not what I'm preaching when I preach a Christian home. Larry's father said, "There's nothing in this house that I walk through, my son, that differs from any ungodly home." Think of that. Does somebody walk into your home and it is indeed a godly home? Or is it just an ordinary home? Now, I don't want to get carried away with technology. Before I went to Africa, Dale, I bought a smartphone. And I would have declared I'll not do it. But I had one of these older relics, and we wanted to have some kind of way to call back from Africa, and they reckoned me to get one. I don't know how to run the thing. I can answer it. That's about all. A few other things I can do. I can look at the time and the weather. But I tell you, and don't want to overweigh this, but I tell you, brethren, and again, I'm running out of rabbit path. It's a good rabbit path. But I'm telling you, brethren, the technology that we're getting in the U.S. and not the U.S., I was utterly shocked when I got to Africa and saw how some of those people lived, but lots of them have cell phones. And I'm not condemning the cell phones. I'm not here to preach. I might say a little bit about Facebook, but okay. Then I said that with a smile. Most people know that I like to say something new. I like to. Do you, Dale? Hey, I said, if you want to, when I'm preaching, you better not sit in the front bench because I'll point you out. Dale, do you like to tell people something new? I do. I like to tell them something new. I don't know why. I can't anymore. Because if I do, I said, oh, it's off Facebook. I've got to hate it. I don't like Facebook. I want to tell some things new. All right, let's go on. Intelligent. And then understanding the Word of God. I spoke about a little bit. He needs that. Here's another one that needs to be found in taking this work on is endurance. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Don't give up. When I was in John Dan's home, I've learned to know that brother, and he was a very dear brother. I managed to be able to speak to him when he was lying on his bed with cancer and only lived 3 days more. And I was sitting there talking to him, and he blessed my heart. I'm not lifting John Dan way out, but I tell you something, dearly beloved. If you want your children to remember some good things, you work on having a good home. You work on having a godly home. Your children will bless you. I know that. And I didn't work like I should have. So you need endurance. You need flexibility. You know, sometimes we think that being the papa, the father, the daddy in the home means that if I said so, that's what it is. But how often have I had to back up? How often have I learned that what I was really pushing and crowding for really was not the best? And so we need flexibility. I'm not saying just this lackluster attitude of standing back and watching your family go to hell. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking of being a flexible daddy. I have talked to too many young people that have desired in their heart to walk godly, but their daddy was so unflexible on certain issues that they just became frustrated. You see, they've got a brain of their own. They've got a heart and a thinking of their own. And you have to be, as a daddy, have some flexibility. I know. I get a little tired of what I call these daddies that just are springboards for whatever comes. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking of being flexible. And then there's flexibility required, but the greatest is love. The greatest is love. I had an experience, and maybe I'll tell you this. Had an experience about 5 months ago, where we had a family that was visiting. They had four boys. I don't know how to train boys. I told you that. But this was fascinating to me. This brother and I were visiting in our home. Had a beautiful visit with him. And the boys were playing off in our other side of our living room. We got some toys out and these boys were playing. And all at once, the boys were very quiet. And all at once, the boys came filing into the room and all sat on the sofa across from me and the brother in a row. And I looked at him. I hadn't heard a thing. And he just sat there and looked at Daddy. And I thought, what's going on here? But you know, sometimes when you meddle, you get into a nettle. And I wasn't about to meddle. I just thought, well, I'll just watch a little more. And after the boys were sitting there, absolutely quiet. I don't know what happened. All at once, they slid off, walked back, and started playing again. Well, I'm a curious chap by nature. And so I just meditate on this. And I will say this. His family was beautiful in order. But after about an hour and a half of talking, all at once, here comes the boys back on the sofa, sitting looking at Daddy. Now my curiosity knew no bounds. I didn't hear anything because I'm hard of hearing is probably why I missed it. He told me what he did later. But something happened. The boys got off the sofa, back, and started playing. Very quiet. And then I couldn't. I figured, well, if I get in trouble asking, that's all right. After all, he might think, what does his old great-grandpa want to know about what he's doing? But he was very kind to me. I said, brother, I'd like to know something. What was all that about? He said, what do you mean? Well, I said, your boy's coming in here and sitting there like this and just... Well, he said, brother, I have trained my boys that when Daddy's talking, they whisper. When Daddy's talking, they whisper. If they don't whisper, I snap my fingers and they come and sit in front of me until I think they've learned their lesson. And then I snap my fingers again and they go back and play. Had a notion to ask him if he would come and teach in the Christian home. That was so different from me. But I will tell you this. I did tell him this. I said, well, brother, I think you're the father in the... I know you're the father in the home, and I bless you. But I said, I'm going to say one thing. Don't forget that four little boys have energy. And a tractor, we have some little play tractors and skid loaders and payloaders. And I said, brother, those things make noise. They don't whisper. And I said, I'm not condemning your way of doing it. But I said, I think sometimes you're going to have to let the machines make a noise. Now, I say that, not that I think the brother was wrong, but I believe we have to be flexible and we have to have love where these things work out in the Christian home. This person that answers this ad must have leadership qualities, willing to get out front and take the brunt of the blame. Willing to stand up, not one of these fellas that just cringes whenever he has to take his responsibility. This brother needs to take responsibility. To see what time I'm supposed to say. At 12. He must have leadership qualities. He must have the ability to instruct and guide. Coupled with a warm personality. Fathers, I don't have this written down here. I talked about this a little bit at couples night the other night. But I tell you something. What the attitude is in our homes has most of the time to do with what our attitude is. You'll notice that if you are a happy father, your family as a whole is happy. But if you're a miserable, grouchy, or depressed, or just a heavy laden, and sometimes we are. I remember we had a bakery for 17 years, and my daughters, I have six daughters, and our daughters worked in the bakery. And one morning I came back from some church work. This is some years ago when our children were at home. I came back from some church work, and my girls were working with me in the bakery. You didn't think I make donuts, but I did. And one of my daughters said, and I had been out on some church work, and I came home, and I always had a problem with whatever, committee work. I just had a big problem with it. And I'd come home just sort of depressed. And I was working there in the bakery, and all at once I noticed my girls aren't singing. And so I said, "Girls, what's going on?" "Why, Daddy?" "Well," I said, "you're not singing. What's... And you know what they said? They said virtually the same thing that the children of Israel said in Psalms 137. Is it 137? "How can I sing in a strange land?" No, they didn't say that. But they said, "Daddy, how can we sing? You're so sad this morning." Huh? I don't believe we realize, fathers, what our disposition and our attitude and our actions can do in a home. And I've had to learn that. I was raised in a home where, especially when my sister and my brother older than me and myself, when we got to be 16, 17, 18 years old, it was a tension in the home all the time because of our disobedience. We were disobedient. I was a rebellious boy. And there was just a tension in the home. And dear beloved brethren, you cannot afford to have your home a tension. Much less can you afford to have your table times. That's a bad place to have tension. Your table time ought to be a time, your eating time, you're sitting together, you know that? And let me say this before I forget it, it's something we're losing. We were always used to three times a day, I don't say it has to be three times a day, but sitting together as a family. We've got too many things that pull us here and there and there. Anything from our job to sports to whatnot. You say, "Oh, that belongs in the world. I see it too much in the church." And I believe we're losing something. That blessed time. But fathers, make sure that it's a pleasant time. Make sure it's a pleasant time. I'm not going to get very far here, but I was just going to write this on a board, and here I'm preaching on it. On-the-job training is offered in this job. You know, sometimes they say, if you don't have the training, you come in, we'll train you. Well, let me tell you something. Unless you had, like three of my daughters lost their first husbands, and then two of them married again. And you could say, well, like Les Reinford, who's married to our daughter, Ida May, he probably had some training, and he did because he had children and so. But basically, most of us entered into marriage with no idea. You say, well, we copied dads. Well, but maybe dads wasn't the best to copy, so where do you get off at? And so we sort of enter into this, and we don't have any training, but you're going to get it, young man. You're going to get some training by default, but you'll get it. And so there's on-the-job training offered. And then I'm going to close that little thing I wanted to write on by saying, Daddy, thanks for taking the job. Thanks for taking the job. I invite you, young men, we need Christian godly homes. We need Christian homes that you walk in the door, and if you're not a child of God, you're going to say, like a young man from State College, that, and I don't say this in praise to Ann and our home, but we did have a good home. I'll say that. I have made a statement. I have never, that I remember, have I had my wife argue with me. And we've been married 52 years. Why? Because she don't argue. And I'm not entirely stupid, because I have found out that arguing with yourself alone doesn't work. And so I can't lay claim to just being non-argumentative. But I tell you, we had a young men come down from State College back in the 70s. They would come to our place, go along with us to church. They were, quote, Pentecostal Christians. And I enjoyed these young boys. And they would go with us to church. And I never thought of it. We'd take them home for lunch. They'd sit with our family for the Sunday meal. And one day we were walking away, and this one young college boy said to me, "Abner, your church is really dry." Yeah, knowing from where he was coming from, it was. He said, he just said it right out. He said, "Your church is really dry." But he said, your families are something else. And I want to say this, daddies, I know you know it, but I want to say this. You and I do not know how much influence and testimony and witness comes out from a godly home. There's many people that come into our homes and they glean something out of that home that you and I, praise God, did not have to advertise, because it was a part of our life. But it fascinates them. And I say it's one of the greatest witnesses and testimony. And that is what makes it so bad when we profess to be children of God and our home is chaos. I'm going to tell you something. I debated this morning whether I want to say it, but I'm going to say it just for what it may help you. I have a very dear friend that I stood beside his coffin yesterday and gazed at his face. He's gone. He died of cancer. Years ago, him and I were very close to each other, because we were both going a lot to preach. And one day he came to me and he said, "Abner, I'm told that when people ask you to come preach, sometimes you tell them no. You won't come." He said, "Why?" And I said, "Because I have a family. I have children. And I feel they need daddy." And this brother said, in all grace and love, he said, "Brother Abner, if God calls you to a work, He'll take care of your family." And I beg to differ with the brother. I said, "I feel my family is my first responsibility. And even though I neglected my family, this brother was so honest. When his boys got to be about 15, 16, he came to me one day and he said, "Brother Abner, you're right. And yesterday, I just want to say it very kindly, but when I saw what happened with some of his children, I wept." You are called as a daddy. And I don't care what your work is, if it's building mini barns or pole barns, or I don't know what you people do. But your first calling is your family. Amen. Serving it through the grace of Jesus Christ under God's direction. That's your first calling. All your other callings may be right. But if you neglect your first calling, it'll bring sorrow of heart. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to talk on training children about children yet this week, but I want to say this. I said something the other day. I guess it was in Allen County over the weekend. Your children all were given. They were given the beautiful thing, I think I would call it. You know, I talk quite a bit sometimes with a man who is a five-point Calvinist. And we have run into each other to the point where I went over in my house and opened up the door and I told him to leave. I tell you, he really looked at me. I said, I told you, I don't want to hear that one more time. This is my house. I won't have my children under this. And if you talk one more time about those things that I feel are unscriptural, I'm going to ask you to leave. And he started right out again. I went over and opened up the door. I said, then he changed his mind and he sort of backed up. But I like to say this, I believe that we have gotten so far away from the sovereignty of God that we need to take another look at this. You know, we say we don't believe in predestination. Well, our God is sovereign. Now, you may say, don't ever ask Abner to preach again. He's a Calvinist. Well, I want to say it this way, and I want to be very clear with you. I believe that God gave everyone the beautiful thing of free will. And don't forget, fathers, your children have that. And sometimes we, with aching hearts, we do what we think we ought to do in our home, and something goes wrong. And then it's so easy for some that when their family, it just seems like it flows, then they get the idea, well, if you would just watch what we do. And I tell you, God won't put up with that proud attitude. We would be much, much better off by falling on our face and praying for those children and praying for those families to bring those. There's much more hope than that, than your proud attitude. I don't know why. I have 13 brothers and sisters. And I don't know why. I was told more than once that I was the worst one of my father's sons. And I'm sorry. There was a time when I finally got to go to my daddy. And he would listen. And I told him, I'm sorry. I don't understand God. But I believe He's sovereign. I don't understand why today my wife and I are blessed with 7 children that love the Lord. I don't understand. Because I see parents who I looked at and just beautiful. It was the way they worked with their children. And then one of their children just out into the world. I don't understand. Except that God allowed us a free will, and our children have to make up their own decision. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not trying to take away the work of a father and a mother whose heart and prayers are to work with. I'm not taking that away. But please, if the Lord bless you with a family that is obedient to His calling, don't you look down your nose when there's a family where there's children that are not obedient. Don't do it. Because I don't believe that will redeem anyone. All right, I want to go on for the next 15 minutes yet. Aiden, I don't know where Aiden is. Is this 12 o'clock you close or 11:30?
Go ahead, preacher, it's 12 o'clock.
All right. You know, when a Christian man selects a Christian woman to become his wife, she becomes the perfect, amen, complement for him. Some people say, well, maybe God said so, but He doesn't know my marriage. Then I'd like to challenge you, my dear brother, that love is not Love is not just some emotional feeling. Love is an act of the will. I am not bold enough to do it. I'm told I'm pretty bold sometimes. But on my camera, I mean my phone. When I was raised as a boy, we didn't take pictures. That was a no-no. But some of us young people in our rebellion would have cameras. When my wife and I got married, I decided to finally settle down at 24 years old. I'm going to settle down. I got rid of all my pictures, I thought. When I was in Africa 3 weeks ago, we came home and my daughter sent me a picture on the phone. Who is this girl? She sent a picture on my phone. She lives in Lancaster. I looked at that picture and I was dumbfounded. It was my wife when she was 19 years old. Now, some of you that have pictures, that doesn't mean much to you. But I tell you, I carry that. I told my wife, I said, I don't trust these phones because delete comes up and I don't want to delete that. Because my love for my wife, and I'm not here to be mushy-mushy, but I have many times through our married life, I have said to myself, Lord, thank you. You told me to love my wife, and it's so easy to do because I purposed that I will until we die. And I just will not listen to this thing where husbands come. I was counseling with a couple one time, and I said finally, and almost being righteous indignation or frustration, I said to him, do you love your wife? He looked me right in the face and said, no. And this was a plain couple. What hope have we? I said, the Bible says, you, I know, are a man that wants to be obedient to the Bible. The Bible says, love your wife. You don't know her. And I said, I'm sure she doesn't know you. I tell you, brethren, we're living in a world of permissiveness. And I just will cry out in this first session, what a home that we ought to have. Now, I know in preaching this, I'm going to give you the impression that I think Anna and I have it together. And we do. We do. But I know it's only because of Jesus Christ. We were married for, well, I would have been 6 years married. My son was 5 years old when we found Jesus. And life became a beautiful thing. I was a drinker, a heavy smoker, and I had a horrible problem with gambling. And when God came, all those Reader's Digest stories that my wife so kindly gave to me, because I was a reader, Reader's Digest stories about what tobacco does to you, in such a kind way she would show it to me, and I would push it aside. But when the Lord came into my heart, those things had to go. But you see, every time that the Lord takes something out of our stubborn, rebellious heart, He puts something in. And a lot of that is the glory of loving your wife. And I'm sorry, brethren. You may say, well, you're scared for Abner to come around here. But I've been in a lot of homes. A lot. And some homes bring sorrow to my heart. Some homes. And it's not just children. It's what I sense in the relationship between husband and wife. Now, I'm going to get practical tomorrow. I just sort of brushed across things today. But I want us to go from here, including myself, with a complete desire to have my home a beautiful place for my children. I'm going to close. I just feel it's time for me to sit down and you pray for me. I was in Africa, like I told you, and last year, if you remember, I had a problem with sciatica. And we were flying home from Africa, Tanzania. We were traveling for 50 hours. And this sciatica came back with a bang from sitting in the plane and bus and so. I valued my trip over there, but I prayed about this leg. And I know some others were praying too. And this morning I stood up here and it didn't bother me a bit. So you continue praying. You continue praying. You know, love is a marvelous thing. I value that so much. When Brother Aiden and the brethren said they are going to pray for me, traveling through from Dar es Salaam up to Mbeya, we were traveling on the highway, and it's one of the only highways that goes through Tanzania. And we think in America sometimes things are pretty hard. But I tell you what, we were traveling on that highway 60 miles an hour, and my nephew and his wife were with us. They were sitting, we had gotten front seats on the bus, and as we were flying up this highway, here was a man laying on the side of the road, just like a Pennsylvania deer kill. Nobody stopped. They went right over him, just mashed him to pieces. Nobody stopped. The fellas that were up in the front of the bus looked at each other and grinned. And my nephew, Johnny, was with us. I couldn't understand Swahili. Is that what you call it? Said, Matt, you're sitting there. You can tell me. But Johnny told Sam and I that these fellas up in front of the bus said, well, if you drive over them, you better stop and back up and make sure they're dead, because if you don't, the driver will get killed. And I thought to myself, we people live in America and I think we're so hard and cold, but we have not reached our limits unless we turn back to Jesus Christ of what we're going to see in America. Brethren, we are in exciting times. But we have a calling to bring our children up in the admonition of the Lord. And it's a marvelous thing. Praise the Lord. Brother, do you want to close with prayer? All right, I'll just take my seat. Thank you.